Good morning. It is December 6, 2017. Another shoe drop today with Minnesota Senator Al Frankenstein. When a woman who met him in 2009, Tina Dupuy, claimed she had been molested as well by Al after becoming senator. Ms. Dupuy, an assistant of Florida Democrat Congressman Alan Grayson, himself a real freak, said that she had asked for a picture with Al Frankenstein, and she said, "We posed for the shot. He immediately put his hand on my waist, grabbing a handful of flesh. I froze. Then he squeezed at least twice." Dupuy said the incident shrunk her down from feeling like a person to a mere ornament. She said, "He wanted to cop a feel, and he demonstrated he didn't need my permission." So now a large number of Democrat senators and U.S. congressmen have asked Franken to resign. In response, Frankenstein has supposedly set up a Thursday news conference to make an announcement. Rumors have it that he will then resign. Ironic, isn't it, since he stole his seat from the excellent Senator Norm Coleman when the president and the governor refused to intervene in the relentless recounting and capturing of Democrat ballots over and over again in the hundreds. So who's next in this roller coaster of sexual harassment and assault? Who's the next penny to drop? Meanwhile, the Robert Mueller campaign to investigate Trump's supposed connection to and collusion with Russia is firing on all cylinders of corruption as more biased team members are identified. Not just Peter Strzok, but lead prosecutor Wiseman and many others. Mueller's team has only Democratic donors, no Repubs. Mueller seems as corrupt as Satan. He should, in my opinion, be removed, investigated, prosecuted, and imprisoned for attempting to subvert U.S. democracy. And, in addition, he goes around with his jaw jutting out and acting like he's a member of some bizarre cult or a few good men, whichever comes first. All right, so let's get into a little bit of state news. And a New Mexico resident may have connection to the murder of a Border Patrol agent from Texas, and a search warrant was obtained by KOAT TV. A person told federal authorities that two brothers assaulted the Border Patrol agents with rocks. And one of the two brothers had been hanging out in Portales, New Mexico. FBI agents received information that two brothers were smuggling people and drugs across the U.S. border. The brothers, who are known, of course, as Coyotes, were talking about their assault of the two Border Control agents with rocks. Now, another theory in this case is what was the Border Patrol agents had been hit by an 18-wheeler or a truck. Now, according to this new warrant, the feds interviewed the brothers, both denying their part in the attack. Now, Fed agents in Albuquerque are searching in Silver Pontiac, searching for a Silver Pontiac Grand Am for possible evidence. And the agents believe if they find this, they'll also be able to gather drug trafficking evidence and also evidence for the murder of Martinez and the assault of Agent Stephen Garland. FBI and Texas authorities are offering a $70,000 reward for information on the case. Nobody's been arrested yet, but the brothers are in Immigration and Customs Enforcement custody as they are in the country illegally. Now, in another story today, or from yesterday, a pipeline exploded in southeastern New Mexico's oil patch, and it closed two highways, but there were no injuries. Eddy County Manager Jennifer Armendariz said the pipeline, which exploded early Wednesday morning, is in a sparsely populated area about 10 miles south of Carlsbad. And she believed it was an area for the production of natural gas. Armendariz said four energy companies were operating in the area. The authorities are working to identify whose pipeline it was so they can shut it down. Explosion happened near junction of US 285 and State Route 31, and both were closed, and nearby residents within 2 miles were also evacuated till it was stabilized, till the area was stabilized. All right. Now, New Mexico legislature is putting together new rules for what we've been talking about, new rules for sex assault, sex harassment. So that's going on as well. And in another story, I had reported to you that Ken Roberts, the undersheriff, who is on paid leave right now and is awaiting the analysis, the response on the investigations into him. The sheriff's office released copies of citizens' complaints against Roberts, which accuse him of rudeness, dishonesty, cursing, using vulgar language, same thing, improper behavior, intimidation, and failing to act. And then I heard there were 4 women who were claiming to have been, and I don't know the exact details, but treated unfairly, sexually harassed, something like that. So I will keep you posted on that one. Now, the latest story on Al Frankenstein is that he is resigning on Thursday. Pretty much the entire Democratic Party has turned against him. Now, Ms. Gillibrand, who is the senator from New York and was appointed with the help of the Clintons to the seat of leaving Hillary Clinton, has demanded Frankenstein withdraw, resign, and she was joined by Senator Mazie K. Hirono of Hawaii, who can barely speak if you hear, Claire McCaskill of Missouri, Dianne Feinstein of California, Patty Murray of Washington State, Kamala Camel Breath Harris of California, who thinks she's the next Barack Obama, Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin, Debbie Stabenow of Michigan, Maria Cantwell of Washington State, Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota, Tammy Duckworth of Illinois, and Maggie Hassan of New Hampshire, who issued statements after discussing the issue privately about what to do. Senator Durbin also joined in. He's the number 2 Democrat, as did Bob Casey of Pennsylvania, Joan Donnelly of Indiana, Patrick Leahy of Vermont, Edward J. Markey of Massachusetts, and Sherrod Brown of Ohio, as well as Mr. Perez, Democratic National Committee, and of course the biggest one of all, from New York City, the senator from there, who's the head senator for the Democrats, and I'm trying to remember his name, you know who I'm talking about. All right, so there have been too many claims against Al Franken. You can't dismiss them anymore. It's impossible to dismiss them. So, I mean, I think we were up to 6, and there were more that were coming, obviously. So if you understand how attacked this guy is. There was a conversation about him by Tucker Carlson, and saying that he was one of the most disliked senators of people that he knew. Anybody who got to know him normally disliked him because he was a narcissist and he was very rude to the people who were underneath him. So it sounds like it's fortunate that he is resigning. Now let's get into the Mueller situation. It's just so incredible. Tucker Carlson mentioning that the Peter Strzok, FBI agent who had an affair and texted his anti-Trump opinions to his girlfriend, involved in 2 important and incredibly delicate investigations, one on Hillary Clinton, which he helped massage the language in that so that she wouldn't be charged, and the other one is Trump, and he started off in the doing the beginning of the Russia investigation in 2016. Now, over 10,000 texts were between the ex-Mueller team official, Sterzak, and the rest of the team members. And now we need to find out what's in those 10,000 texts. And those that's reported by Fox News from today. 10,000 texts between FBI officials Peter Sterzak and Lisa Page, his girlfriend, the attorney. So in those 10,000 texts, how many touched on Trump? What if many of them did? What if all of them did? And so there's another question. Was Sterzak involved in the infamous anti-Trump dossier? Because that was paid for by the DNC and the FBI, right? So was Sterzak, since he's opposed to Trump and he's a fan of Clinton's, obviously, because he's the one who investigated, he's the one who interviewed her and didn't even record it, didn't put her under oath. You know, it's kind of strange. It's sad, isn't it? Now, the Mueller aide fired for anti-Trump texts, Sterzak, is, according to James Rosen from a story from 3 days ago, he's also being investigated in his role in the Clinton investigation on her emails. And so they say that the investigation into Sterzak should be completed early next year, but who knows? So how deep is this guy? He's up to his neck. And if he's opposed to Trump, how can you trust anything that this guy was involved with? Not just anything he said, but how can you trust anything that he did, anything that his committee did? It's just crazy. It's like Hitler being put in charge of investigating a team of Jewish people. And we expect him to be unbiased. You know, it's just nuts. So for Sterzak's investigation, National Review, from a story December 6th today, Andrew McCarthy says, let's wait until we jump to any conclusions. And I agree. You have to wait for the evidence. But here, look at it from another angle. This guy was involved in the Hillary Clinton email investigation, and we know that he did not put her under an oath. He did not record anything she said, and so she couldn't perjure herself. She was then let off. We know that was an unfair outcome. We know the two main people involved in that were Sterzak and Mueller, or Comey, pardon me. Mueller wasn't involved. Comey and Sterzak, because Sterzak was Comey's right-hand guy. So they were the ones who came to the conclusion that Hillary had done nothing illegal, when almost everybody who studied it independently has stated that she could and should have been prosecuted for her role. So we know the guy is involved in one thing, and it's very corrupt. It's wrong. So to me, he gets a strike for that. A second thing, he's having an affair on the job with another team member. And while he's violating his marital vows, he's also texting this lady what a piece of crap Trump is and how much he loved Hillary. That's two strikes. So here's a third strike for me. The reason that I don't cross, that I don't accept anything this group of people does, Robert Mueller put together one of the most biased groups of people in history to do the investigation. The group of people is virtually all Democrats. They're all, if they've done any donations whatsoever, They donated to Hillary. They donated to Obama. Not one of them donated to the Republicans, to Trump. So also this guy Weissman, I've got to tell you some about him as well. It's a very terrible situation that we see in there. So I'm calling Mueller the biggest hack in history, one of the biggest partisan clowns of all times. And I think that it's really important that we understand that the purpose of this group of people was to get rid of Trump. And that's why when I look at how Mueller's operating, he seems biased from the beginning, because all of his people are biased. All of them. But he wants people to put faith in him and think that he's doing an independently an unbiased bit of work. And then we look at what he's doing. He's supposed to find collusion in between Trump and Russia. There is none. Now he's shifting to find obstruction of evidence. Obstruction of justice on Trump. He was not supposed to do that. So that's the fourth strike. I mean, I'll end up with 20 or 30 strikes against these clowns. It's really, really sad. And I want to know if Strzok was involved in this dossier. All right. Now, the Wall Street Journal is demanding that Mueller resign. And so I think that, you know, they've called on him to resign before. Mueller's credibility problem, according to the Wall Street Journal, we'll get into this here. Special counsel is stonewalling Congress and protecting the FBI. So for the same reasons that I just mentioned, they're asking for him to step down. It's the appearance of bias that's killing me. I assume if Peter Strzok was trashing Trump with his girlfriend, that he would be doing what he could to harm him. All right, now here is from The Spectator, an American newspaper. Special report, enough FBI and Justice Department corruption needs to end. Given the latest revelations, it's time for a major change in course. And I'm going to get into Weissman in a minute, but last week nobody knew who Peter Strzok was, but he's not anonymous anymore. Quietly this summer, Strzok resigned from Trump-Russia collusion probe. Special counsel Robert Mueller's team, after it was discovered he'd sent anti-Trump text messages to a woman with whom he was having an extramarital sexual congress, who's also a member. We didn't find that out till this last weekend. So who's Strzok? Apparently, he is everything. Looks like the man at the center of what can best be described as the complete collapse of the FBI and Justice Department's trustworthiness and credibility, a collapse which is triggering a crisis in the public confidence in the federal government as an institution we consent to have power over us. He's not just an investigator into the Trump collusion probe, which has degenerated, as Andrew McCarthy laid out in the National Review on last Monday, into an obstruction investigation, which I just mentioned. He was heavily involved also in the decision to change the statements by James Comey about Hillary to extreme carelessness instead of gross negligence, because extreme carelessness is not illegal, but gross negligence is illegal. And that was when Clinton had a bathroom server, a closet server at her own house that she was using to communicate secrets with. And so there is a rumor also that Strzok weaponized the Fusion GPS dossier. So now here I was going to tell you about Weissman, and I want to, and I know this is kind of getting in a little bit deep, so just kind of stick with me here. Somebody told me when I was talking about this stuff a couple of days ago, it was hard to follow. According to The Spectator, we're also finding out about another hopelessly compromised member of Mueller's investigative team, Mr. Andrew Weissman. Weissman is the federal prosecutor who prosecuted Enron, Arthur Anderson, and Merrill Lynch in separate cases, all of which resulted in convictions of these groups, these companies, which were then overturned all or in part due to prosecutorial misconduct. So if you want a hitman, if you want someone, if you want to put somebody up to going out and doing a cheap shot on somebody, take them out at the knee so they always walk with a limp, Andrew Weissman's your man. So he's also the guy that put together the pre-dawn raid of the home of former Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort in order to push an investigation for charges of laundering money for in a way that was not illegal, according to this article. But think about this. Weissman went after Arthur Anderson. Arthur Anderson was what was once considered part of the Big Five accounting firms. And he went after him and he convicted him, and it was brought up on appeal to the Supreme Court, and every single judge agreed that the conviction should be overturned. In other words, what Weissman did, because of prosecutorial misconduct, in other words, what Weissman did was so far beyond the pale that it made it an illegal prosecution. But the sad thing was that Arthur Anderson was already torn to shreds. He was already he had already killed Arthur Anderson. So obviously this guy hates capitalism. And so that's who he has as the lead prosecutor, because he's so aggressive. That's what Mueller cares about. Mueller goes around with this sour look on his face like he's a G-man. You know, he thinks he's Kevin Costner. He's not. He's a hack. He is a person who's lost his way, and he's become a hitman himself, an assassin, a paid assassin, who's really a grocery clerk trying to collect on a bill. He is trying to assassinate Trump in any way that he can. Now, the sad thing for him is he's completely ruined his own life and the reputation that he had. And so the Spectator is saying that the Mueller probe is rotten to the core. It's been in existence for an entire year and nothing has happened. No wrongdoing was found, even between Manafort or Flynn, in terms of collusion. So these guys, if they did anything wrong, did it on their own time. It wasn't part of Trump. And I think it is remarkable, too, that when Flynn was interviewed, it wasn't set up so he didn't have an attorney. It was an interview by ambush, and he should have said, "I won't talk to you until I get my attorney involved." So he wasn't ready for this thing to happen. They set him up. They set up the questions ahead of time so they could get him to perjure himself. And he did perjure himself, I guess, according to Mr. Stazak. And so they trapped this guy. And I'm not saying that Flynn is a good person at all. Don't misunderstand me. What I am saying is that it's an absolute hoax. It's a joke. That the only reason this is going forward, as everybody knows in their bones, is so that they can take Donald Trump out at the knees. So some people are asking that Trump start firing people, that he should tell Mueller he has until Christmas to bring an indictment against someone for collusion, or he's fired and the probe is disbanded. The investigation can't be open-ended. It also can't be allowed to be a perpetual motion impeachment machine, not just because it's bad for Trump, but because it is poisonous to American democracy that this witch hunt might go on while the same people involved in it were actively at work exonerating Clinton. Trump should fire also Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and Assistant FBI Director Andrew McKay, both of whom are hopelessly compromised as well. There can be no mistake about the legitimacy of the deep state coup against Trump and his supporters. So, it's just a naked grasp for power. Now, Laura Ingraham indicates that they are trying to undo the election as well. And Laura Ingraham calls Strzok the Forrest Gump of the FBI, that he shows up in the middle of every single investigation. He was present, for example, during Hillary's one and only interview with the FBI. He was the agent who interviewed Hillary's longtime aides, Huma Abedin and Cheryl Mills. And then he helped grill former National Security Advisor Mike Flynn. So, of all of the people that could have been called in on this, why was he chosen? He was chosen because Mueller knows that he hates Donald Trump and loves Hillary and loves Obama. So he's a perfect guy to run this stuff, because the purpose of this is not to find collusion, although they would love to do that. The purpose of this is to undo the election, to throw out Trump, to prove that the elites were correct. Because as the elites are uncovered as being partisans and hacks and incompetent and fighting for their own, not their own cause, but they're fighting for their own power. As that's happening with Trump, it becomes very, very dangerous for these people, because the entire group is going to be sent away. So, all right. And a little bit more here, and I had mentioned that Hugh Hewitt had said the same thing, that we needed a special counsel to investigate the Department of Justice and the FBI because of the crazy things that are going on there. I really think that we need to probably prosecute Mueller, because he is the one who's at the center of organizing all of this and sending out the henchmen to go after Trump. Now, here's another article by the Daily Caller. Political prosecution: Mueller's hit squad covered for Clinton and persecutes Trump associates. This is the Daily Caller from today. The fallacious facade of quasi-Attorney General Mueller's investigation is crumbling by the minute, revealing ugly truths and the stench of a political persecution at its worst. We learn more every day that Mueller's team consists of corrupt Clinton cronies, donors, and sycophants. The poster boy for prosecutorial misconduct, Andrew Weissman, former Clinton lawyer Jeannie Rhee, and never-Trumpers whose blatant biases have tainted this investigation from its inception. Now, to do some analysis on what's wrong with this group of people. First, Robert Mueller, James Comey, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, and Mueller Lieutenant Andrew Weissman all have long-standing, strong relationships with each other. They called each other basically a band of brothers. Each one of these key men worked for and with Mueller through their careers. The fingerprints of each of them are on the Uranium One transaction with Russia, where Russia was given 20% of our uranium, and the Clinton Foundation was given hundreds of millions of dollars in relationship with that somehow. Comey follows Mueller on as director of FBI after Mueller is replaced. and Rosenstein worked for Mueller. So that's the connection between these people. All right, given what happened in that past interaction between Comey and Trump, and Trump finally firing Comey, and then somebody suggesting they needed an independent counsel, they got Jeff Sessions to bail because he's just seems very simple-minded. He bails out of the Department of Justice role to head the investigation. It's then handed to Rosenstein, who's close to all these people. He chooses Mueller, and then they get to work. And the interesting thing here is that it is possible, quite possible, according to this article, that these men hatched this plan together to go after Comey's nemesis, Trump. And the article here asks, and I'm just going to read these two paragraphs to you because I think this is so fascinating. Given the extremely brief time frame under which all this stuff happened and Comey's admitted leaks to the New York Times of his conversations with the president, one can conclude that three or all four of these men communicated extensively and hatched this plan for Mueller to be special counsel, if not prior to Comey's termination, then immediately afterwards. Why else would Comey tell Congress that he leaked his conversations to a friend to get the New York Times, hoping to trigger the appointment of a special counsel? Despite the countless scandals of the Obama administration, there was never a special counsel appointed in those 8 years. Comey admitted long ago in his Bush time for working for Bush that after his own chief of staff, his first call in a perceived crisis was to Bob Mueller. Now, Mueller had previously put Mr. Wiseman onto the Enron task force, and he destroyed Arthur Anderson and those 85,000 jobs associated with it. He sent four innocent Merrill Lynch executives to prison on indictments for crimes he made up while he and his team hid the evidence showing they were innocent. This guy should be disbarred. When Mueller brought Wiseman into the FBI, ultimately as general counsel and deputy director, That happened next. All four men have been a band of brothers. Now, then the latest thing that happens, Comey's FBI follows the Clinton campaign and puts together or funds the Russian dossier, which was full of slanderous smears. Comey's FBI then took that dossier, which was just a pack of lies bought from Russians, to a secret FISA court to get a secret warrant to then start recording Trump's associates, while the media laughed its head off that the president said he had been wiretapped. And so the lady that writes this is fantastic, Sidney Powell. She says here, listen to this. Let that sink in. The incumbent but departing administration secretly wiretapped the team of the incoming president of the United States, whom it despised, based on lies the Clinton campaign bought and paid for from a Russian. This is the same FBI and James Comey that we now know exonerated and covered up for Hillary Clinton despite her flagrant destruction of evidence and incontrovertible breaches of national security, not to mention her irrefutable false statements to Congress, which were a blatant violation of 18 U.S.C. Section 1001 false statement, for which retired General Michael Flynn and George Papadopoulos have now been forced to plead guilty to. So, I mean, this is unbelievable. This one article, I think, is the best one that I've read. And I've got to go back and reread it. So what are we dealing with now? We're dealing with a group of people that I am convinced has to be shut down. You can't allow this band of brothers to continue on and to try to destroy Trump, because they're not even doing what they were supposed to be doing, which was investigating collusion. They just used it as an excuse for getting this you know, this little hit squad put together so that they could go out and take out people that they wanted. Now, here's Carlson talking about it. For months, Trump defenders have alleged that Robert Mueller's investigation is tainted with partisan politics. They've noted, for example, the strikingly high percentage of prosecutors on Mueller's team who are also major Democrat donors. The president himself has frequently echoed these charges, implying that the investigation is a partisan witch hunt concocted by his enemies to overturn last fall's election results. Basically a coup. So, this is crazy. I mean, they're destroying, or the FBI was destroyed underneath Obama. And these far leftists who think they're saving the world and are really just fighting to save their own power and their own idea of the good and the right. And what they're doing is destroying. How can you destroy the FBI and the Department of Justice and not destroy the country? I mean, you can't have a country like this without, and so that's why Trump is considering putting this secret CIA together, this new international. So you can't blame Trump for whatever he's doing, because at some level he's just trying to survive, but at another level he's fighting so much corruption. And it's blatant corruption out in the center of everything else, and by people who pretend that they are above criticism. It's very scary to see it, you know? Oh, and there's another piece here by Greg Jarrett, America's Secret Police. FBI has become America's Secret Police, Mueller using FBI as a political weapon. And he says, I think we now know that the Mueller investigation is illegitimate and corrupt. And Mueller has been using the FBI as a political weapon, and the FBI has become America's secret police. Secret surveillance, wiretapping, intimidation, harassment, and threats. It's like the old KGB that comes for you in the dark of the night. And so they came for Manafort in the middle of the night and broke through his front door and took all of his computers and such without asking for them. And Jarrett continues, the FBI is a shadow government now. It has become highly politicized. Peter Strzok is the perfect example of it. He led both the Hillary Clinton investigation and, until recently, the Mueller investigation. This is a guy who has corrupt political motives. We now know it because of his texts being exposed. The Congress has the emails, but he is the tip of the iceberg. There are others, especially Andrew Weissman, and as you pointed out, Janet Reh. He was talking to Sean Hannity. So, and you can't expect the media to point this out, because the media is part of the problem. Now I'm going to get into one last little statement here about this, which I thought was a brilliant speech. I'm just going to read it to you from the New York Sun. The Mueller firing speech, the New York Sun, editorial of New York Sun newspaper, December 5, 2017. Following is the text drafted by the New York Sun of remarks it would like to see President Trump deliver. Good evening. A year ago next month, I took the constitutional oath that has been sworn by every president since George Washington. It binds me to do two things: to faithfully execute the office of President of the United States, and to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. It's an oath I swore before God. Now, I have concluded that to redeem those two vows, I must dismiss the special prosecutor Robert Mueller and the officers he has assembled ostensibly to look into allegations that there may have been collusion between my campaign and the Russian Camarilla. I have this morning placed the prosecutor's premises under federal seal pending a decision by House Judiciary Committee. From the beginning, I never believed the appointment of such a prosecutor was necessary or even justified. It was always perfectly within the authority and competence of the Justice Department to investigate, and if due cause were found, prosecute any wrongdoing by any member of my administration, including my daughter and son-in-law. I acquiesced in the initial work of Mr. Mueller's office because I believed that I was not a target of the investigation. As Mr. Mueller's work has unfolded, however, suggestions have been made that this office may be investigating my own conduct. Given that possibility, I believe that the investigation must be halted, and if it is to be resumed in respect of my conduct, may be recommenced only by the House. That is a constitutional bright line. My opponent in the recent campaign brought before her nominating convention the Gold Star father, Khazir Khan, to ask whether I had even read the Constitution. The answer is yes. I would not hold myself out as a constitutional scholar. I know, though, that it is only the House of Representatives that can investigate a sitting president for crimes and misdemeanors. That is a provision of the same Constitution that I have sworn an oath to preserve, protect, and defend. That oath, incidentally, is different from the requirement of the members of Congress and the justices of the Supreme Court. The Constitution requires them to swear only to support the Constitution. Only the president is required by the Constitution to swear to preserve, protect, and defend our national parchment. I had barely sworn that oath when it became apparent to me that the Constitution needs protecting, and not just from our external foes, but also from those who would seek to subvert it by refusing to accept the results of the election that Vice President Pence and I won. This quickly became apparent to me after the vote by a campaign of leaks of the most sensitive conversations I was conducting, and by the emergence of what its adherents are feigned to call resistance against the decision of the voters. We have just learned that the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the Special Counsel's Office itself have been infected by political sentiments and colluded to keep from the Congress knowledge of the political sentiments against me expressed by a senior FBI figure in the investigation. This is a shocking development. It was exposed not by the Republican press, but by the Washington Post and the New York Times. They reported over the weekend that the special prosecutor had kept from House investigators the discovery that a senior investigator in the special prosecutor's office was demoted for sending anti-Trump messages to his mistress. I commend to you the editorial in the nation's most trusted newspaper, the Wall Street Journal. Not only did the special prosecutor withhold evidence of that from Congress, but he did so despite a subpoena that could have led to the disclosure of this perfidy. That is obstruction of Congress, a prosecutable offense. So I have decided to uphold my oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Effective immediately, the special prosecutor and his subordinates are relieved of their duties and trusts under the United States. I have instructed federal officers to secure their premises pending any subpoena from the House, which is the body that is constitutionally authorized to investigate and decide whether to impeach the president. This administration will play no games with the House. Preserving, protecting, and defending the Constitution of the United States requires, inter alia, amongst other things, preserving and protecting each branch of its government, including the presidency. I have learned much in the past year, but nothing more clearly than how important it is to protect the office I hold. This means, under what the courts call the rule of necessity, that I have a responsibility to act even when it is awkward. Our country is on the brink of war in Korea and being maneuvered against by determined enemies on every continent. These challenges may be no more pressing than the workaday assignment to rebuild our economy, although are pressing. This is why our founding fathers decided against dividing the executive powers among a committee or splitting them with a special counsel. They chose instead to vest them in a single president, a principle that, to the best of my ability, I am preserving, protecting, and defending today to make America and its Constitution great again. Woo! That is amazing. And I just read the whole thing for you, so I think that you see where these guys are coming from. And it is really, really, especially that Daily Caller piece just put everything together. I'm really amazed by that. The idea that it is all collusion in America, American collusion. American collusion against Trump. So, all right. You know where I stand on this. Remove Mueller. Prosecute him. Put him in prison. Do whatever is necessary to save this country. Now, in other news, the travel ban was approved by the Supreme Court. So, I mentioned that yesterday, but it's a big win for the Trump administration. In other news, Theresa May, the Prime Minister of the incompetent Prime Minister of England, had a death threat that was being planned against her, a death attempt, an assassination attempt. And according to the Financial Times, police believe that the plotters had planned to set off an improvised explosive device, IED, at the Prime Minister's Downing Street offices and residence, and then kill May in the resulting chaos. Sky News called it an extreme Islamist plot, offering no further details, but the Financial Times described it as a bombing plot followed by a knife attack. So they're out there, they're still trying to kill us. All right. Jerusalem has just been chosen as the headquarters, as the capital of Israel. And it is a big deal. And I'm looking at all of the articles right on it right now. And all of them are criticizing Trump. I just find it so amazing. And they're just saying it's going to create chaos. Will Trump's plan to move Jerusalem work? From Washington Post. And, you know, I just think that Israel has the right to make whatever city it wants its capital. So why should some other group tell them where their capital can be? And Tel Aviv, and that used to be the capital, and now they're going to move the American embassy from Tel Aviv over to Jerusalem. All right. For more stories, let me go into my little trough of stories here. Well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to just cut this one short because I'm no longer on the air. I don't have to do any particular amount of show anymore. And so I want to keep it short and sweet. And I think I covered what was necessary. I hope that you have a good night, or a good day, pardon me. It's 12:30 a.m. right now, and I'm trying to get my sleep schedule back. So anyway, I'll wish you all to have a good day, and we'll catch up tomorrow. Ciao. Kelly O'Connell, and broadcasting from Las Cruces, New Mexico.